Welcome back to Welcome back to Bounded by Bravo. I'm your host.
Better keep that.
I'm your host, Amy, joined by my co-host, Jenna. What
Hello
up,
there.
Jen? How the heck was LA?
It was really good. I have some stories.
Get into it. Wait, before you get into it, just because I have the smallest story, my friend sent me a text that her soon-to-be sister-in-law was on a Southwest flight to Vegas, and Erica Jane was sitting right in front of her.
On Southwest, huh?
On Southwest. And she said, perfect, how sad.
Perfect segue.
I thought it might be.
On the way there, every time I go to LA, I fly Southwest, and I've never had any issues. And this time, I go to the airport. Remember, we recorded last time, and I was like, it was 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Had to get to the airport. I'm laying there. Okay, this was what really got me, is that there was no communication, like, in a timely manner. Like, it was – boarding was, I think, at, like, 8:10 or something, and it was, like, 8:20, and no one had said a word. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And then finally someone comes on, and I have an AirPod, like I have my AirPods in. Actually, on the way to the airport, one AirPod officially died. It had been going on for a while. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know.
Before a flight, there's nothing worse.
I know. And, well, it gets worse. And they come on, they're like, okay, like, you know, 20 minutes or something, having mechanical issues or something. I'm like, okay. I go
also,
back down.
When they say mechanical issues, like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'll take another flight.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, can you be specific? Is it like
I don't know. But so I'm like laying there and I have my one AirPod working. And I just hear this text. You know how your text can read to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my text comes in. It says, flight blah, blah, blah has been delayed till 2:10. And I'm like, 2:10? We went from 8:40, like, 2:10.
That's a whole day.
That's a whole day. And I'm like, I'm close enough to the airport where I'm like, do I go home? Do I not? It was really interesting to see no one react, though. I was like, oh, everyone's afraid of being blasted on TikTok. but
that's so SF, though, because in New York, people would be throwing fits.
I'm sure. And so I was just like, okay, what's my move here? And I was like, okay, I can look to see. I tried to see if I could. I saw that United Airlines had a flight down there, and I tried to get them to put me on that, and they were like, no, we don't do that. And I was like, but what if I just buy it and you pay for it? And they were like, no. I was like, okay. And I was like, so what do you think I should do? And they were like, well, we've been having these issues since 3 a.m. I'm like, then why did you have us show up? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then if it was going on since 3 a.m., that flight, I think, ended up getting completely canceled. What they ended up doing is they were like, okay, we could take 20 people to Oakland in a shuttle and 20 people to San Jose in a shuttle. So there ends up being like 11 of us in the shuttle to San Jose Airport.
How far is that?
It was like 45 minutes. And then from, like, we thought we were like, okay, they've clearly talked to the people at San Jose. As you would think.
Right. No. What do you mean?
Up and they're like, what's all these people from San Francisco? Like, I normally have pre-check, couldn't use any of my pre-check. Everyone had to recheck their bags, had to go through security again. Like,
you didn't even have a flight to get on there?
We had a flight at like 12:45, and like there ended up being like 9 of us strangers in this shuttle. And like, I will say we really like came together at the airport, like looking out for each other. Like, I got your bag. Like, did you get yours checked? Like, I'll go ask this. Like, it was like a whole thing. So we finally do get on the flight, and I ended up landing around like 1:10.
That's so annoying.
Yeah. Especially cause like we would have split I was like meeting a friend there and we would have Uber, you know, it's back to where we're going.
Yeah.
And so that's like another, you know, expense. And then on the way home, I'm sitting at the airport. Same thing's happening. I'm like,
no.
Oh. Yeah, it says 3:15 boarding or something, and nothing is happening. And I'm like, and it's like now 3:17. And still, again, no one is telling us anything. And I'm like, this is so bizarre. So then I see, I look up, I like literally look down, I make a joke to my friend and I'm like, watch, you're going to get your flight. Cause she was flying out of Oakland. Cause she's close. She lives in the East Bay. And she's like, just get on my flight. If it's like, she's like, it's empty over there. I was like, oh God, like I really don't feel like going to fucking Oakland. Especially by the time we get home, it's like total rush hour. Then I gotta, if it's not rush hour, then I'm barting for like so long back.
Yeah.
And BART is the subway, by the, like our version.
Barting.
I know. I was like, wait, that sounds crazy. And so then at like 3:25, her flight's at, is boarding at 3:30. Okay. They come on and they're like, flight's been delayed till 5:35. We ended up checking it when we I ran to the desk and I was like, can I get on this Oakland flight? And she's like, okay. She prints me the ticket. So I like run over there. Oh,
great.
The flight was like empty. I was able to get on. But Kyle, I told Kyle, I was like, you don't have to pick me up. It's going to be traffic, blah, 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 blah. He ends up like doing it anyway. He sits in 2 hours of traffic. Can't even get to the airport. Ended up going to Berkeley because that's where my friend that I was with lives. Yeah. We share an Uber back from Oakland Airport to Berkeley that took 45 minutes. That should be 20 minutes. $50. It was such a disaster. I was like, and then we ended up looking up the flight and the whole flight ended up getting canceled.
Well, thank God you got that then.
Because yeah. That would have been an Oakland flight.
That, this is especially for such a short trip. Like you were only in LA for 2 days. Like that would drive me crazy.
And also, what are the chances of that happening twice? Like when I got to the airport, and not to mention, like, honestly, we got to the airport so early, you know, when you're on that mm-hmm. last day and you're just like, all right, what are we just going to keep spending money to spend money?
Yeah.
And so eventually we caught, we were like, all right, let's just go.
Yeah.
And so we were already in the airport for so long before our flights even took off. And I like made a joke and I was like, what if it happens again? She's like, no. And I was like, yeah, no way would that happen again. But it did.
That's when you knock on wood. And no, I'm kidding. What happened? How was LA?
It was good. It was really nice, actually. So we were in Los Feliz, which is like a neighborhood that I never go to, but I've always wanted to, I guess probably because of armchair expert. Mm-hmm. My eyes were certainly peeled.
For sure. Okay.
And then we went to, it was so weird. Last week we, this simulation's been working hard recently. But I was like listening to Armchair Expert last week and maybe like 2 weeks ago. And they're talking about this spot, Little Dom's.
Intro.
Yeah. And as they're talking about it, I get a text message from my friend who I'm going to LA with that says, check this place out on blah, 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 Little Dom's. And I paused in the park and I was like, what the heck is going on? I was so weird. So we did go there.
What kind of food was it?
Italian food. And the conversations. Okay. First on our, like sitting right next to Eden or whatever. No, I just said her name, but whatever. I was Oscar from The Office.
Okay. You watch Office? I think so. Yeah, he's sitting next to us,
and then this tall man walks like quickly behind us, and it was Gabe, who was like a later character, who was like the tall, goofy one.
Okay,
and he's in like Silicon Valley as well. But I was like, what are the odds that we see two Office characters and they are not together and no interaction?
They didn't say hi to each other.
No. And then, I mean, he may have not. God. Seen
Oh my God! I was going to say, how weird is that?
May have not seen them. And then the table to the left of us, it was like these four guys. They must be like DJs or something. But I mean, I won't really disclose what they were talking about on here because it was just bizarre. The whole conversation was kind of bizarre.
What do you mean you have to disclose, especially since you're not saying?
I don't know if I want to. It's like.
Creepy?
I don't want to come off like insensitive to certain kind like.
They were just being annoying.
Yeah. And then this other.
What's the age demographic? Like 20.
Maybe like 27 to like 35 because this one guy was like, looked much older. And then this table, it was just like such an LA trip. Like then the table that replaced Oscar's table from The Office, it's just, they're just like friends. It wasn't a couple. And I hear the server like talking about the wine that they have. And she's like, what I can tell you is that it's like the wine from White Lotus season 2. And the woman at the table goes, oh, I'm working on the current season of White Lotus. And I was like, And then there were just so many little things. And like,
oh my God, I would die.
We went to Erewhon and spent, literally, we were there. Okay.
How much money? Okay.
We looked so like confused. Like we were both like in there, like what's happening? Cause there's like all these different lines. And like, if you get like, you know how normal, if you go to a store, you can kind of pay for everything like up at the front.
Yeah.
There was like so many different places to pay for your food. And then like, I was looking for like snacks or something. And someone came right up and was like, excuse me, ma'am, how can I help? Like, it was like like what you would get at like a 5-star hotel, but like at a grocery store. And so I was like, oh my God, this is so bizarre. And
so it's like Whole Foods on crack.
So much crack. The most crack ever.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I got the Hailey Bieber strawberry glaze smoothie.
How was it?
It was good.
Really good?
It was like $23 worth, but whatever.
No, $23?
Yeah, so stupid.
20? Does she make money off that? I mean, look, we stan Hailey Bieber. We both have the lip kits. I'm actually going to buy that for a few Christmas presents. I've already bought it
But, yeah, so it's expensive. And then there was like another LA thing that had happened where we were like trying to pull out of our parking spot, but we literally couldn't because there was influence. We were like, influencers in the wild. Do you follow that Instagram account?
No. But
photo shoot happening in the middle of the street. Like, it's
so hard because I live near.
We saw like three photo shoots.
Oh, yeah. I live near Central Park. So. I live near Central Park. I work downtown near World Trade. Like, influence in the wild is just, they're always in the wild.
Yeah.
They really are. It's fun to see, though. Yeah.
And we went on a nice hike, and we were on this hike. Oh, my God. I forgot about this part. We're still coming up the hike. This is, like, we're passing right past, like, Griffith Observatory.
Yep.
And this guy just walks right up to us. And this, like, older gentleman. And, whew, he had a lot to say. I was, like, he talked to us for, no joke, 25 minutes.
Just randomly out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. And he, of course, there was like a, where do you guys live? And we said, like, we're like, where are you traveling from? San Francisco. And that place. Like, the number of times I feel like I have to, like, do the dance with. I'm, like, getting to a point where I'm, like, I'm about to fiercely defend this city because I'm so sick of people talking shit on it.
Do folks from LA talk shit on San Francisco?
It seems like the entire world does right now. Like, it's just like we're I don't know. Like, you tell anyone that you live in San Francisco and they're like, oh, it's the worst there, isn't it? Isn't there crime everywhere and there's bodies everywhere? And it's like, shut up. It's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been in.
I like it a lot. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
And every time I go, I like it.
Yeah, well, thank you. On behalf of San Francisco.
It's also different. Yeah, whatever. People are so annoying when they think, like, that alone gets on my nerves. When people say, when you tell them where you live and then they immediately have a comment about it, it's like, do you know how insulting that is? Like, if it's the same thing when you go back to Philly and you tell people that you live in New York, like, oh my God, but isn't rent so expensive there? I'm like, well, y'all pay a mortgage. It's not like it's that different. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody does their own thing.
Everywhere now.
Right. Exactly. There's no difference to what you're paying. We're all screwed.
Yeah. We're
at
all screwed.
End.
And then he was nice enough. And then, you should have seen his reaction when it came up. I was from Philly. He's like, that place. I was like, oh, I'm going to have it with you, sir. But he's like some author of this book. I think it was called like The Durham Mob. I meant to look it up. And then he was like talking about how he just was out here with his friend for his 100th birthday party, which I will say is impressive.
Whoa. Okay. That's cool. So he's old and crotchety. That's fair. All right. And he can have his opinion.
Well, he was smiling the whole time. I don't know. I don't think he even realized he was like being insulting. And then he was like, yeah, it was me and blah, 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 and something DiCaprio. And like, neither of us like quickly picked up on it. And he was like, and he wanted us to pick up on it. Like, he was like, recognize the last name. And I was like, this is the most, LA just cracks me. I love it there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it is so the cliches about it just are, they're real. Right. They're just.
Right.
Yeah, they're just real. And
it's. Well, so me and Corey always make fun. There was this, I did this spoof on, well, I guess I didn't, it's not really a spoof, but there was this video on Instagram about LA. Like, I'm so happy that I found my family in LA that loves to do ice baths and grab coffees and hang around and talk on Saturday mornings. And it's this video of like people with their lattes all getting into these ice baths after each other.
I commented on this, didn't I?
Oh my God. Like, yeah,
this kind of looks great.
And I was like, this is insane. And our friend Corey, who lives in LA, was like busting my chops. And today he posted a video like, if you don't work out with so-and-so in LA, do you even work out? And I was like, this. Oops, didn't work out with so-and-so in LA today. And he was like, God. You're so annoying. So we just, you know, we go back and forth on that.
It's funny. The Overheard LA Instagram account is definitely the best Overheard account.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know Corey made it? When Corey was visiting in New York, he made it on Overheard New York. And I've been trying to find, it's so far back now. I was like, was this you? And he's like, yeah, ha, 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 ha. And it was about his chair tattoo. But I can't, I need to find it.
How did you know it was him?
Cause he was here during that time and I sent it to him. I was like, were you having this conversation? And he's like, oh my God. Yeah. And then I know it's wild. I need to find it. Yeah. Anywho. Yeah.
It was good.
That sounds fun. Yeah.
It was super fun.
My week was work and then we had my husband's, they call it Friendsgiving, but they work at a, well, it doesn't matter where they work. But so it's like the Friendsgiving at his boss's apartment in Soho. That's, you've seen pictures. It's just insanity. It's like this big, huge open loft floor plan. There are 14 of us and everybody brings something from their country because he works with a lot of folks who are from different countries. And so he had to make this Belgian dish and whatever it was. We all had like all these different dishes. My Irish friends made stew and potatoes. And then there was this, his boss makes this thing. It's called wet loaf, which sounds weird, but it's endive wrapped in ham with bechamel cheese and Gruyere. I couldn't eat it, but I've had it before.
This doesn't sound like something you can eat.
Like, I couldn't eat it, but I sniffed it and it's so freaking good. And then you like bake it and it's bubbling cheese. Anywho, this went on and I realized like the first time I met one of my good friends now, the first time I met her was at this 6 years ago, Saoirse. And we were like, oh my God, happy anniversary. So then I decided that because that was the case that I was just going to have a full blown night. And 6 years ago, my husband and her husband were like the newbies. And now they run the company. And so I realized the next day, like, oh my God, I was the drunk wife of the bosses. Like, I was talking to the girl next to me who's new there and she's like 25 and she's like, yeah, well, my boss is Meek and Gary. And I was like, wait, what? They're your, oh, no, it like hit me like, oh my God, this is a joke that they're the boss. And then like, I'm sitting there with like my champagne glass, like, are they your bosses? That's so stupid. Oh God. Which led to, you know, one thing after the other. Me and Saoirse were out till 4 a.m. at this place. There's this place in New York and it's, no tourists are ever there. It's amazing. It's called, well, maybe I won't say what it's called, but it's this bar in the West Village that has a piano and every like Broadway singers go there. Everyone goes there and there's no pictures inside. It's a cash bar and there's a piano and they play Broadway songs the whole night and people sing. And it's not like people are like singing along like karaoke. It's like Broadway people are singing along and they're doing harmonies and it's insane. And it's my favorite place in the city. It's my favorite place. You just go there and you're like surrounded by talent. Like nobody there. Like the guy I was talking to next to me was a director. The other girl who was hitting all the notes is like, I'm moving to LA tomorrow. Like, and then like there were the three guys in the front who were doing all of the different harmonies. It was insane. Anywho, we did that. I know.
So cool.
Yeah.
And then I paid the name of that place so I can go.
I will, but you would only ever go with me.
I know, but you're never there when I'm there.
Actually, I did take two Philly gals there. Two of my Philly gal friends, I did. I don't know if, like, if you don't love Broadway, are you going to love this or are you going to think it's weird? It's definitely such a New York experience. It's
so cool.
It is. And it's, like, dingy and old and...
Yeah, as soon as you said cash bar, I was like, yeah.
Yeah. It was good. I just paid for it. I'm too old to be doing that. Anyhow, I guess that's us caught up.
Yeah. What do we want to get into first? Is there anything before we get in?
Yeah.
Is there anything I was like, maybe we should start doing this, like, in the beginning, like, say what you're most excited or, like, eager to get into Bravo-wise this week. I'll tell you mine.
You tell me yours and then I'll think of mine.
Southern Charm this week was a
See, and I was going to say Miami, but I think that's because it's the last thing I watched. I also haven't been able to watch Kardashians this week yet. But Miami, I think, is where my head's at because Larsa, man, you messy bitch.
I know. She's a mess.
I also – and I know that we're – I don't know if you've – I went on – after our podcast last week, I went on a whole on TikTok – about the P. Diddy allegations and, like, the things that are out there about him and how wild this could get is crazy. I don't know if you remember, like, 6 months ago, there was this news article that he gave all of his artists the rights to their music. And people are saying that he did that and he had them sign an NDA at that point that he could never say anything bad about them because he knew that all of this was going to start coming down. He's resigned from two boards this week.
I saw that. Or
he resigned from one, was asked to leave another. There's three cases out against him, which means, you know, I've been just thinking a lot about what you said about power or the person. And I think you are more right in the power than the person. Like, you have to be a certain type of person, but with that power, I just, yeah, I don't want to go back to, like, the men thing, but just, like, holding people accountable. It's, ugh.
Well, to that point, when we were on the hike the other day, we're talking about this. This was, like, down in LA. 'Cause actually that guy had mentioned something about his, like, P. Diddy's dad or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Whoa.
And he made this comment really, like, kind of flippantly, like it was like nothing. And it was like, but I didn't want to ever say anything because, you know, he's a, like, Puff. What did he called him, like, Sean Puffy. What was his old name? Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, we know he's a violent guy, always has. But, and I was like, but he was like an old, I mean, this guy was probably like 80.
Yeah.
And we just started talking about, I was like, remember when after all the Harvey Weinstein stuff, there were all these, like little, like, stand-ups or, like, interviews. And, like, there were all these, like, little comments about him for years. Like, jokes that were made.
Well, like, I don't know if you ever listened to Wendy Williams, but Wendy Williams always had stuff to say about him, especially him being on the DL. And that's been a big allegation against him, which is fine, whatever. If you, if that's how, like, no big deal, but it's more the light, like, he has this hidden lifestyle as well as the other part, like, where he's there, there's been allegations of even they're even talking about his, Kim Porter who died, how it was suspicious and how she had a book coming out. And that as soon as she died there, all of the, wherever that book was, there's no mention of it anywhere. You can't find it anywhere.
Well, so, yeah, just, like, there were just, like, little, like, comedians had made jokes about the Harvey, like, for years. And, like, you can find, like,
little bits. That's what you're saying. And
going back to the power thing, it's, like, people were making jokes on stage about it. But when you have that much, like, people weren't even doing anything about it. And it's, like, it would be interesting to kind of hear, I mean, I guess what you're saying with, like, Wendy Williams, who has said stuff, but going back and... in interviews, like, where that you would just not pick up on it before, but when you have this information, you're like, oh, all these people knew this whole time. And he was still doing his thing.
Well, and that's what Aubrey O'Day basically said, is like, I was blacklisted from ever being able to do any music project again because of him, because I wouldn't sign an NDA. Because I wouldn't sign an NDA and say that I would never speak out against him. He basically went around and told anyone in power not to give me a record deal.
So how did she maintain fame? Like,
she figured it out on her own. I mean, she's doing OnlyFans and like she got some indie labels. But the way that they talk, like if you see these interviews, his old bodyguard talked out up against him, and the things that he says are mind-blowing. It's just, it's more
like, he's a monster, it sounds like.
Yeah. And for so long he was the sweetheart, especially after Biggie died, like, you know. And
the friend left in mourning,
right? And like, he came in, he made the song, he took care of Biggie's family, he made Biggie's mom the face, you know, like everything like that. And yeah
it's all fucked.
It is fucked. I just want these men to be held accountable.
Yeah, they're the worst. They can be.
Speaking of toxic men, let's talk about Southern Charm, because
I'm sorry, segue into this right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it is,
I
like,
I obviously love Bravo, but sometimes it's like hard not to be like, stop giving these men a platform, you know, like with the Sandoval and then Shep, like get him off. He doesn't even do anything for anyone, really. Like, he's just mean.
The way that he talks to her is so, it's so blatantly obvious that he is emotionally abusive to her.
Yes, 100%.
The way that he spoke to her. Food? Oh my God. Oh, you've done this and that. He is so condescending. He is such a prick. I can't believe that there's still women out there that would date him.
I have. Same.
You know what I was thinking about? Like, you see Austin, and at least Austin is like, Austin said something this week that made me be like, oh, he said, I'm a people pleaser. That's why he's telling all these girls he loves them, because he's afraid to hurt their feelings. He's afraid to do this.
Yep.
You see him doing the work and really fighting and trying to be better. And Shep's just over there like, I think,
I don't think Austin likes this, like being put in this box with Shep.
Yeah.
Like, I think Austin is actively fighting against that right now. Yeah. Like, working to whatever he needs to do to not be Shep at 48 years old. He's right. Like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I'm down to do it. Because Shep is a monster. Like, he, not in the same way, because like, how I was just saying, P. Diddy.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Let's be.
Her is not even just her, like,
everyone.
Because he even.
He's such a rich white man who comes from such privilege and doesn't even know how to keep that shit in his pants. He doesn't even know how to keep his fucking privilege. Like, just fucking act right for a second. Just don't be a little snotty dick. And I don't know if you saw all those stories in Bravo and Cocktails about how he acted at BravoCon.
Yeah, I did. But, I saw. And I was eating them up. And yeah, I could really do without him on Southern Charm. And like, for I know a lot of people are not into this JT character. He doesn't really bother me. I could see objectively how people would not like him.
Yeah.
But I like that he's so anti-Shep. Like, he really is like, he's Watch What Happens Live. And I like that he calls him out and is just like looking around the room sometimes like, wait, everyone just accepts this behavior from him? Right. Like, why are we doing this? He saw the way that Chubb was talking to Taylor, and I think that he was like in his confessional talking about it, and it's just, it's really, really disgusting behavior.
And
who even wants to be like that though, too? Like, it seems a little like exhausting, and like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that would drain. It's such an energy suck to be like that.
But if you don't know anything else, like, everything, like, he has never everything about him is so unattractive to me. He's never had to work for anything in his entire life.
Has he ever had a job?
Probably not.
I don't.
He's
know
talking
that
about when he was in college with his whatever. Like, get. I just. It was great to see. For me, this episode separated him and Austin a lot in my head. And seeing Austin wanting to get better. I really liked the conversation between Austin and Madison, because as much as there was turmoil between them, I think they did love each other. And I think Madison just wanted Austin to be better, and Austin didn't know how to be better, which is fair. Like, we've been there, seen that. And I think that she really wants him to be happy. Like, that felt like a genuine conversation. Seeing Olivia saying that they were like flirting, and how would your husband feel if, like, they were not having, to me, like,
I there thought was, that was weird. I actually had to rewind that and be like, wait, who is she talking about? Because I just, not for one second did I think she was referring to Austin and Madison. And then I literally rewind it and like watched it again. I was like, I think she is talking about that.
Yeah. And she said, how would your married person feel if you were flirting with your ex? I'm like, and then they pan over. There wasn't anything about that that was flirting.
No, I didn't think none so of at it. All. I didn't get that. I got such platonic vibes from that.
And sincere vibes.
Yeah. Like, we have history together, care for each other, but like
Yeah.
We've moved on.
I really like Madison.
Yeah, she, I do like her. I love seeing her in like the mom role too.
Yeah. Oh God, that one episode, I could have cried when those kids.
I just don't like. I still didn't like that time when she like kind of ganged up on Taylor and.
Yeah.
I don't like this whole.
I was thinking about this, what you're about to say, because I feel
the opposite or the same.
I feel the same.
I just don't like it. And Benita was on Watch What Happens Live after. And like, I'm like, are you just bashing Taylor to be relevant? Because have literally brought nothing to the show except for little quips about Taylor. Like, shut up and sit
down. People that I could deal without are Benita, Shep. Yeah. Benita doesn't do anything for me. She does nothing.
And sometimes I don't like. Earlier on, like, there were some comments that Leva was making, and I was kind of like, I don't love this either. Like, it felt very attacking on Taylor. And it's so clear to me that Taylor is so going through it. Like, it's on her face.
She's so
heartbroken and sad and uncomfortable. Like, I think I even wrote in the outline, like, what kind of paycheck had to get her to Jamaica? Because
I also I think I've said things in the past and I want to take some of them back for being a hypocrite, but there's something about like these young women going through their shit on TV. And I don't know if it's because I'm a little older now, but watching them kind of have these like self-destructive moments and go through these breakups and, you know, try to get back and do the dumb things that we've all done that we need to forgive. Like, it needs to be forgivable. Taylor, and it's making me think of Rachel so much because we texted a lot about Rachel this week. That it's just, if somebody had a spotlight on me at that time in my life, the things that I did were probably 10 times worse. I mean, not than Rachel, but
if you, it's just like with the Rachel podcast coming out and then even the stuff with Taylor, like, the accounts that I typically follow and like are also like anti both of those women. And
but
I kind of just, I like, there was one podcast I turned off, like, and it's one of our favorite podcasts. And I was like, it was about the Taylor Olivia situation. And I think it was last week's. And she was like, no, I think she's just a brat who always got a girl, always got any guy that she wants because she's a pretty girl. And I was like, what? What are you talking about?
I just couldn't that's so not what this is. She's 27 years old, figuring her shit out after her first big breakup. Do you know what I did? I moved to another country because I couldn't figure it out. And then I screwed half of that country because I couldn't figure my shit out. And then I left that country, came back to Philly, did the same thing there. Like, give me a break. And people like called like the millions of times. Then I then booty called my ex.
And then
give me a break.
Let's get into that. When Shep brings up that text, and I'm like, thinking in my head, I'm like, don't for one second try and tell me that you have never once texted Taylor
right
for this. Right. And for everyone watching, if you have an ex and it was not a great, even if it was a good breakup or a bad breakup, there's probably a booty call coming in there at some, like, drunk in the middle of the night, a you up text, like,
right. How many times we've done, and like, that's not so embarrassing for her now. Do you think exactly. She's not so embarrassed? And yeah, Shep's and, like, I just think we need to cut, like, yeah.
Yeah, I
feel bad
like
for
not here for every time I see the stuff online about bashing these girls. It really, like, I'm just like, damn, that sucks. Like, that's where we are. Like, I feel like we've gone so far to go nowhere.
I feel like I really went in on Rachel in the beginning. I really, really, really went in, and I would like to take some of that back, because I think the culprit in both of these situations are these narcissistic men. And not that this is like a men hating podcast, but I will say that men not being held accountable for their bullshit, Sandoval's back in the mix. Lala wants to come out here, call herself a strong woman, and then, you know, she's ready to eat this alive. And she said, oh, I have thoughts about this. So she's ready to tear Rachel apart. I hope she doesn't. I hope she doesn't. What she said she's going to do, how this is her year of healing. What do you think it is for Rachel? She screwed up. She went to therapy. She went away for months to do what's best for her. She didn't come back because it wasn't a healthy situation. She's not a bad person for that. She did what she needed to do.
She also has to make money to pay these bills back. And I can't imagine that the check from iHeartRadio was nothing.
Right. So I just, I'm in my forgiveness era for these young people. But to segue to people who I am not in my forgiveness era for are the grown-ass women who go around telling other women about cancer diagnoses. Larsa, Pippin, you dirty dog.
Unbelievable. And then even the women on, like, Kyle's little quip about Sutton's eating or the drinking comments from all of them. Like, these, it's like, you are adult women. Like, let's get it together.
It was, this is, it was really crazy. Yeah.
Let's talk about this Larsa thing, because this is crazy.
It is, right? This is everything.
When
I don't know what,
go ahead.
I just don't know what her purpose was. And the editing that they did was so shady. How they're like, Larsa told this person, Larsa told this person 6 hours later, Larsa told that person. The fact that Larsa even made a comment and said, I'm going to tell TMZ. That's so sick.
Well,
I just,
even in her, when she's in her house for that, like, welcome home party for Marcus.
Yeah. Weird.
There are people in the back.
Oh, yeah. And
like
there's
workers.
And there's staff. Exactly. There's staff and everyone around. Gertie said it herself. Like, what if someone heard her and then I didn't even tell my kids yet? Yeah. Gertie has every right to be pissed is an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
You told, like, this is serious. This is serious. And then to question it, that infuriated me.
And then for her to have the audacity to be like, well, I don't, like Larsa saying, well, I don't have time for test, and like questioning the validity of her cancer with her. Oh, this is what really got me. She had a drink. Like, you have cancer. You can't have a drink.
Jen, I almost jumped. I almost jumped. That is not how this goes. That's not how this goes. I almost jumped through the thing. There's nothing in the rule book that says you can't drink when you have cancer. When you're going through radiation and chemo, that's when you can't drink. And even then, you could probably still have a drink. It's just that you're not feeling good. This is bullshit. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. Oh.
I mean, she's definitely not the sharpest tool in the shed. I think that that's
shit.
So clear.
Doesn't it make you wonder what secrets she told about the Kardashians now? You're like, oh, I wonder what she blabbed to TMZ to make, that's what happened. I mean, it's clear as day.
Well, I know that their relationship all kind of came to a halt after the Tristan and Jordan stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
She was like commenting and I think talking about it out, and I think they had like even like kind of told her, like, I think there was like an episode, and this would have been still on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, not the new one. And they don't say her by name, but it's kind of like, we can't have people like out here commenting on these posts. And, you know, because
she's messy.
Kylie, like this. Yeah, it's like messy.
And Larsa, messy Pippin, like, give me a break. And no one cares about your podcast with your boyfriend. I'm sorry. Listening to
I know.
Here I am being mean after saying I'm not gonna be mean, but she irks me so bad.
She is. So we didn't get to like the real meat of it, but I'm assuming this next episode is when her and Gertie are actually gonna have
the conversation. What did you think of the ketamine treatment?
I said go for it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess she clearly has like some trauma. I've heard of this quite a bit, obviously.
Yeah, same.
I say do whatever works for you, you know? Like,
yeah, I had a doctor. Like,
people are doing, they're like out here doing it on the streets anyway. So,
right. It was,
I have a few friends that love Kay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not like it at all.
There was the moment when they were like holding each other, like where Julia was holding her hand while she was, I just was like in tears when she was asking for her brother. I was like, it was heartbreaking to see.
Yeah.
And I usually can't stand her.
Actually, I think the reason I paused on the ketamine, I was like, what am I thinking of? This has nothing to do with the Housewives, but taking care of Maya.
No, not yet.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Is it good?
It's infuriating, but yeah.
Will it be infuriating? Because it has to do with medicine, and I'm sure I'll lose my mind.
Then maybe don't watch it. I don't know.
I think that's why I've been pausing, because like I saw the outcome, and I'm like, this would just make me, you know how I feel about all this.
Then maybe
stuff.
Just don't even, it's like going to put that energy into your life again. But they, for her illness, it's a lot of ketamine treatments, and like clearly ketamine is doing something and really working out as a medicine, because I keep hearing more and more about it.
Yeah, I actually, my neuro suggested it.
I was wondering, actually.
Yeah, but she said not in the U.S. She said she knows of a good place in Amsterdam that, you know, just because it's still newer in the U.S.
Got it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't, after seeing, it was honestly interesting. And when they said it's a brain reset, I was like, oh, for the audience, I have had headaches for 6 years undiagnosed, so it's always a fun little journey to go on.
Yeah.
but so that's when me and Jenna are always talking about health stuff. That's usually what I'm talking about. Anywho, it was interesting to see that. Also, I love Julia. I really do. But from what I've heard so far of the opera, like, is this what we're doing?
Okay, so I've thought, like, I like Julia too, and I gotta say, I give her credit for just being able to do it, because she does a lot of things that are pretty cringe to me, I find.
And doesn't give a shit. Like,
she just doesn't give a shit. I mean, walking around with these goats, like, it's just... I also love her, seeing her, every time she comes up in that big-ass truck, I'm like, yeah, girl, I love it. I guess it's, you know, her heart's in the right place when it comes to the opera.
Right. For sure. It's cute. She's, I love her. I like her a lot. She's sweet.
Yeah, I like her.
What should we talk about next? I feel like that's Beverly Hills.
Let's chat a little bit about Beverly Housewives.
Yeah.
This is the first time we saw Morgan Wade on screen.
Oh my God, Jen. Oh my God.
Have you seen the memes?
I don't know, but.
Her looking at Morgan Wade and then. Versus her in a scene with
God, that's what I said to Meek, because Meek was watching it with me. There was like sexual tension between her and Morgan Wade. I don't care what, like, she was flirting with her.
Even if they hadn't or haven't hooked up, they're like, Kyle is feeling something.
There was like the way she acted towards her is not how I would act towards you. Or like, she's like, hold my hand.
You're so right.
But you know what I mean? She's like, hold my hand. And like, help me through this. And she's like giggling at her the way that you would as like a schoolgirl. And then you see her with Mo in the next scene and you're like, damn. Damn.
Black and white.
It ain't it.
Yeah, I think Kathy Hilton was asked about, like, do you think they'll get back together or something? And she sort of said, like, Kyle wouldn't have come this far if she wasn't, you know, dead serious about it.
Do you think we'll ever get the real answers to what happened?
I don't. Watching this dinner, this whole episode, and I think I said it last episode, like, that we recorded, we are like 6 episodes in right now, and we still haven't really got into it yet about her marriage, but it's, they have sort of been strung, I feel like I'm being strung along, and then we're at this dinner, and for two people who are so kind of forward with each other, as in Sutton and Kyle, Sutton's not asking the question. Garcelle finally has to chime in and be like, about your marriage. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Like, someone ask the damn question. It was like this, and I was listening to another podcast, and I really agreed with what she said. She was like, I wish Kyle, it was clearly going to be a conversation, right, at some point. I wish Kyle would have gone ahead of it, went during this conversation, and been like, you're trying to ask me about my marriage. I told you that this was not a good year in my marriage, and kind of got ahead of it, because what has happened instead, because she's not just getting ahead of it or being like forthright about what's going on, is it's the memes start circulating, like Kyle being the first to ask all the questions, but doesn't like any of the questions asked on her. And that has been a theme with her for 13 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was your opportunity to really sort of take the reins on this conversation that you know is going to happen in this season.
But yes, and it's so weird because I still think Sutton is such an oddball.
Oh, so strange.
So strange. And like the conversation
aside, with- I just... Yeah. They're sitting at this dinner table and Kyle's looking her dead in the eye. Just ask me. It's like, no, Kyle, why don't you be the first one to say something so that you don't have memes about you tomorrow when this episode airs?
It was weird and I was waiting. I was surprised Faye didn't say something sooner. And I loved when Faye was like, that's not right. Because, you know, they didn't, you know, they, Faye knows you don't ask about the marriage.
Yeah.
And but she didn't.
On reality, that's why Faye's not on the show, though.
Yeah.
And this is,
I don't, yeah,
a quote unquote reality show. And it's like, these are the topics that we're going to get into.
Then why didn't she ask her? I don't know. So you think Kyle should be giving up more?
Yeah, I do.
I feel so
different. And that
different.
Doesn't mean like every detail. I just think, don't be offended when people are asking you questions about your marriage when it's in every tabloid.
After you also just got a tattoo, like tattooed your initial on someone's arm, like.
But also, it's Kyle is always the one who was asking the questions.
That's true.
And stirring the pot and going in.
See, I watched the episode and I was like, Sutton, you are so weird and you are so annoying. Just spit out what you're trying to say. Like, okay, she got a new ring. Is that really what you're doing this for? Because there's a new ring. Like, that's what you're doing. Like, I don't get it. This is annoying. Like, what's happening?
So I'm trying to be like, I was going through a lot. I got to get more money now from my ex-husband. I was like, all right, you lost me here.
Right. And Kyle just being like, okay, can we move on? Like, there's just nothing about that was, it was so bizarre.
Yeah,
so
and bizarre. I don't dislike Kyle. I just...
Me neither. Yeah, Kyle's one of my favorites. And I think I just feel such empathy.
Not one of my favorites, but...
I just feel like she's like an OG. And I just feel like this empathy towards her about her marriage that I feel like we never thought this would happen. And my heart is like going out to her. And I just am like, she's just trying to protect it as much as she can. And I know all the other women have gone through divorces and this is what happens and this is what you do. And I still just feel for her so much.
I did feel for her at the end when she said, and I'm not saying though, like when I say that she needs to be forthcoming, I'm not saying she needs to like get into every detail, but instead of having people asking her questions or barely asking her questions, like just be the one to say it because you already know what they're going to say.
I mean, also like beating the someone saying to a breakup things.
So you don't right, get and broken the, up with.
The saying things about like what she's eating and what and how that she's working out. I cannot stand this.
That's so weird.
And, you know, she did say back to Sutton about what she ate. Like all of this is like, guys, I feel like there's one thing that we shouldn't be commenting on and it's bodies. Ugh.
And no. I did look for Kyle when she said, I'm not like when she was like going off, she's like about the not drinking and stuff. She's like, what did she say? She said something like,
she said, I am not drinking because drinking makes me depressed and I can't afford to be depressed right now.
Yes, that's what it was. And I, in that moment, I was like, okay.
Yeah, just leave her be. Like, that's a lot. That's Kyle giving a lot.
Yeah. I don't know.
You disagree?
I don't know. I just think, I guess maybe just, and maybe we'll see what happens. I mean, there's still season to come. It's just, there's just been so many headlines and so much speculation, and it just feels unfair for us not to want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it was something so sacred to you, then maybe don't do this season of the show.
But that's impossible, you know, especially like.
But then also you can't have, I don't know. It just feels like getting your cake and eating it too.
She's always
on a reality show and not being ask questions just is not really that fair.
Yeah, and she's always had it that way though.
And they were going in on Erica the years, but like about
that's true. Erica stuff. And Erica had to go. Erica and, like the real ringer out like, there.
Yes, like
yeah.
At least Kyle has like an outcry of support online, yeah. Whereas Erica was getting like vitriol hate online yeah. all the time, and was still being cornered at parties.
I like the Erica that we're seeing this season.
Love
it. Love. She's like, I don't give a shit. And then Denise coming in with her like, well, I don't know what why they were bringing them in. Because that was just like the Hot Mess Express. She was so like, what was she on? That is more than drinking, I think. There might have been like a little volume in there to keep the party like just chilled out because that was wild.
Yeah, I don't know why they brought them in.
Yeah. I don't feel like it was needed. Like, I'm good on Camille. I don't need to see Denise's face. That's cool. Anyway, what else we got?
Winterhouse.
Oh, we did a lot. Oh, Winterhouse. Oh, God. Danielle.
Why?
Danielle, you're so pretty.
And she's dating Joe Bradley now, which I kind of like.
I like that, too. But Danielle.
Oh, Danielle. Yeah,
okay, this was dumb shit. I just want to say that we've all done dumb, embarrassing things.
I know.
Holding a knife
when she's in her fit of rage in the kitchen. I was like, oh.
Danielle, stop. It's just so clear she just went through a breakup and is like looking to hang on to anything. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Maybe some of us handle it differently, but we've all been there where it's like, to me, this is like the first guy post breakup and she's just dying for the attention, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you. We just need you to get out of it. Also,
get out of
all
the house,
this for Alex.
Yeah, he's such a weirdo. You don't even like him. She knows that she doesn't even like
him. No, I know.
Him.
And it's like, we've all been in that. Like,
I know.
There's someone I can think of off the top of my head that I did this like weird dance with. I would like go home and be like, I don't even like this person. But yet I am still in this whirlwind. Like it was like addicting, a kind of. It was like a high that you were chasing.
Yeah. I did it for a year.
Yeah. It's just, it's
crazy.
So
crazy.
I know. I like look back on those like 9 months and I'm like, was like my brain just like not firing on all cylinders? Like what was happening?
That's what I think. Yes, for me too. My brain wasn't firing on all cylinders. Yeah. We were drinking a lot.
I was definitely insecure during that time. I would say one of my most insecure like
Yeah.
Times of my life. Also, now that I'm thinking about it, that was almost, I would say those 9 months were some of my most secure moments. I was about 3 years in here, still hadn't totally found my footing yet. And I was kind of like, how have I not found it yet? It's been 2 years.
I forgot. And then I didn't know who you were talking about.
Straws and literally holding on to the grossest straw. And I was like, love this for me.
That's so weird because that straw and my straw are so similar because the people that love you are looking at the straw and they're like, girl, this ain't it, but I'm just going to let you go through this because I went through it and there's nothing you could have said to me where I'm going to still go through. Like, it doesn't matter what you say.
I was like, when I had like some moments of clarity, I was like, I would know. Like, yeah. I was like, I don't want this.
That's the worst part is the knowing.
I don't know. It was so bizarre. I really do think back on that time and I'm like, what was going on there? But I really do think it had a lot to do with just the way I was feeling about like myself.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's so. And also when you're right out of a breakup for years, I think you forget who you are.
Yeah.
And so you're like, to me, she's trying to be so coupley with him so right away. But we're rooting for you, Danielle. Yeah. I loved to see Tom Schwartz and new Katie.
Same. Yeah. I really, really do. I think I even wrote that. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, I see why people love him. And like, not for nothing, I was watching on Watch What Happens Live. He is who he is. Like when met him,
He was exactly.
He was charismatic and soft.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word I always think of when I think of Tom Schwartz.
I know. And that's why we could never have sex with him. But we want Katie Flooding to have sex with him.
And he spoke so highly of her on Watch What Happens Live.
Did he? I saw that. Yeah. I wonder how his girlfriend Joe feels about that.
Yeah, probably not great. But especially Katie Flooding is like a knockout.
God, she is and so gorgeous. And I think
actually Katie Maloney would be rooting for that. I think she'd be good. I like this for you.
Because she's normal.
Yeah. And I don't think it would spark any kind of jealousy in Katie Maloney for this one.
I think Katie Maloney and Tom Schwartz will come to the place where there's not the hatred.
Yes. The friction and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Winter House, I think. Yeah. It's good. This is a good week in Bravo.
It was. Speaking of a little bit Vanderpump Rules, did Ariana win? Is that over?
It's this Tuesday and I cannot wait. There's five people left. I know. It was only supposed to be four, but they decided for the first time ever to keep five couples in. She placed third last week, but she has she's been consistent from day one. Yeah. She is so good.
Yeah.
Like I cannot even tell you how good she is. I hope she wins.
I hope she wins. What do they win other than the mirror?
The trophy. Problem? I don't know. Maybe money. I'm sure. I think for every week that they stay in, they get more money. Like I think
wondering this the other day. I was like, how do they get compensated for this?
Yeah. And then if they make it to the semifinals, they get an extra this. And then if they win, it's probably like another compensation. But it's wild.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I'm excited to see it because, I mean, you can just tell she's just so good. She said in like her interviews, I don't know what I'm going to do after this. Like, I just love this so much. It's like really changed my life during this time. And she didn't want any songs to be about her breakup. Any of the songs she picked, it was always about her and her coming into her own. And it feels like she's really finding herself. And I don't care. I'm saying this now. After watching Vanderpump, I don't care what happens if she's being annoying or going through it. I will never have Tom Sandoval's sides and I will never feel bad for him because that's what, no.
Yeah. I think we're going to start seeing more of Ariana on a screen in a different way.
I would love to.
I think she'll phase out of Vanderpump Rules. I do.
Well, she was on Love Island a few times. I would love to see her host that.
I see her. Yeah, I see big things for her.
Yeah, good. She deserves it.
Yeah, and you know what? it would make so much sense because I know that she, it made sense for our relationship at the time, but I think she was always hesitant a little bit about being on the show.
I think she did it for Tom. Like, she didn't want to put all of her stuff out there, all of her business. Like, no thanks.
Yeah. And so I think if she has an opportunity to be on the screen or be in the entertainment business without having to be on that show, she'll take in a heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, big things. Right. Big things for her.
Cool. Well, that's
this has been real. Oh, shit. Yeah. My computer's about to die, so it's perfect timing.
Okay, we're going to take the dog for an adventure.
What does that mean? Where do you guys go?
I don't know. It's a little wet outside, though, so I don't know. It's like, I always sometimes, I have these big ideas for the dog, and then I'm like, I don't want to.
Fair. I love that you have like a full day ahead of you, and it just got dark here.
Oh my God. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Bye, friends.